I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
Republic Broadcasting audience, Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John. Here on Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain, 4 to 6 Central, you can tune in and join me right here on Republic Broadcasting. This is Talk with John. I'm your host, John. Let's get this show off to a proper start. It is Saturday, March 19th, 2022. Woo! I almost took some time away from us that we don't want to lose. I hope let's give out my show prayer. My show prayer is, I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers. May it be an acceptable token to our Father above, and hopefully it's an acceptable token to our brother John Stadmiller. Then, the show mantra, where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. Boy, today was a really interesting day for me, and possibly even for the show that I'm going to be doing. I spoke with my state congressman today. I spoke with one of my two state senators, the one that I think is pretty darn good, one of the better ones in the Senate, excuse me, not state senator. Let me back up. I spoke with Senator Mike Lee, I spoke with Congressman Burgess Owens from the state of Utah that go back there to that are senators for our national Congress. I also did speak with my state representative for my state legislature and waved at my state senator. I actually wish I would have talked to him, and I'll probably get the opportunity to do that here pretty soon. Frankly, I can call him up and give him a phone call, and I know that if I really want to get a hold of him within about a couple of days, typically the same day, I can get in touch with him. And folks, okay, John, well, you've got a radio show. You're different from us. I am no different from you. I reach out to I ran as a state delegate, and that's how I got to speak with the national representatives today. But I will be getting more into that in the second hour. It may play a little bit into it in this hour. But literally, I walked in the door just a little bit ago. Walked in the door after being there for several hours at one of these events. This is a heads up to Sam as well. There will be a Saturday. I believe it's the... Oh, let me pull up my calendar. It's towards the end of April where I am not going to be doing my show because I am going to be a state delegate, and in April I will be there voting. So let me see what date that will be, and I will obviously, I believe it's the 23rd, that is the state our state Republican Party, and I'm a delegate, like I said. So this is an important thing for us to do, folks. I remember John and I having this conversation, and I remember John and Roger Landry, who's joining me now, of the Liberty Beacon, and TLB Talk. I remember them having this conversation numerous times. Let's see what we can do to get the White House back, and then let's take care of everything else. Folks, we really need to focus on our local elections. We need to be involved. Our state representatives, our state senators, meaning within our own state, they need to know our phone number, they need to know our name, and they need to know our faces. I'm in a fortunate position where Mike Lee didn't know me from Adam until today. Well, actually, I've met him a few times before, but I guarantee I stuck out in his mind today with a few questions that I asked before I mentioned that I had a radio program that I wanted him to join us on. And then, but my state congressman, when I walked up to him, he knew me because I've met with him at his town halls a few times. The federal representative Burgess Owens knew me by face and said and greeted me by name, and I went after him a little bit on a few things. But so my statement to you folks is, I hear a number of people complain about the way things are going, about your vote not counting, and to some extent I can't disagree with that statement. But that doesn't mean you don't take action. You don't do things. You need to stand up and you need to be accountable. Because I brought up a few things to Mike Lee, and he's like, you know what, John? That is a great point. We really need to. One of them he's already kind of working on. Another one he's like, you know what, John? You're right. We need to work harder on that. And I'm glad you brought that up. So without any further ado, now let me reintroduce Roger Landry. Thank you so much for joining me, and forgive me for taking about 9 minutes to get to you.
I think that's the longest I've ever been quiet in my entire life. No, I'm joking. Look, it's your show, and I was listening just like your audience was. Okay, so no need for an apology.
Well, but you are my invited guest, and we want you here, and I want to hear from you. So any thoughts on what I just shared? Any thoughts?
Yeah, there are thoughts. And some of them may go just a little bit a grain to what you said, but they're all what you said was absolutely apropos, and what you said is vital. But let me explain something a little bit more, okay? We live in a country today where we have professional politicians in Washington, D.C. It used to be in this country that a politician went to Washington, D.C. for 4 years, 6 years, maybe 8 years at the most, or if you were a senator and you did 2 terms, 12 years at the most. You didn't make it a career. You didn't go into Congress with, and what most people don't understand is Congress is both houses. It's the House of Representatives and the Senate. But you didn't go into Congress a billionaire or a bazillionaire and come out, you know, a bazillionaire. Most people went into Congress being local businessmen or being a local farmer or being, and a lot of these people may have been a little bit more well-to-do than the average citizen, but they didn't have $300-$500 million like the Nancy Pelosi's, and I could go on and on. Nowadays, if you live up to what most of us believe about our congressmen, what most of us believe about our senators, is that they are there for a career and that it is not you they represent. And the longer they stay there, the less representation they have for the people. So when you say we need to stand up and hold them accountable, it is now more important for that than it has ever been in modern history, because we're getting sold down the river. I don't care if you're a Republican. You know what a rhino is, okay?
Yeah,
I don't
like
care if you're Republican or a Democrat. If you have been there for 30 or 40 years, you are bought and paid for. End of story. And they don't represent you. They represent themselves, and they get a lot of money from big supporters like, oh, I don't know, Big Pharma, the military industrial complex, AIPAC, that will absolutely buy them their next reelection. So what is more critical or more crucial right now is what John just said. You get your feet on the ground and you talk to your local congressman in state. You talk to your local representative. You talk to your local, I don't know, the people who run your town, the town council, your mayor. You get these people to answer to you. And once that happens, the politics in this country will never, ever fix itself from the top down. That is impossible. The only way we repair politics to bring it back to the people in this country is from the bottom up. It is people like John.
Okay. You are right. And I'm going to say one of the reasons why they become career politicians is because people like our individual listeners, we don't have enough of them. I was in the girls' gym that should have been in the guys' gym at a local high school, because the guys' gym was a little bit bigger, but it was packed. There were hundreds of delegates. The parking lot was as full as it is during school days. And I was talking to people that from all over my area. So my county is a pretty good sized county. To go from one end of it to the other, conservatively, is a 50 minute, if not an hour and 30 minute drive. If you were to jump on the freeway and you were drive from the beginning to the end, it's probably a 40 minute drive. I spoke with someone who was at the very north end of the county. I'm on the very south end of the county. And it was on the south end of the county where this was held. But there were a lot more delegates that should have been there. And if they were there, if we had thousands of people come out to their candidate meet the candidate night, those career politicians would be a lot more worried about the individual voter than they would be worried about who they're getting their next payment from whether it be Pfizer or Facebook or whatever the case may be, if we showed up to their homes every day, 10, 20 of us, quiet, friendly, maybe even take them a loaf of bread, whether they're there or not, they would know that they better start listening to us. And I put it on me as a voter and as a radio show host that I do not do a better job persuading my fellow citizens of my state, of my town, of my county. I don't do a good enough job persuading them, let alone I'm not a good enough radio show host that I can persuade them more to show up. And they would be scared of us, not scared of not getting that money.
I agree with everything you said, except that we need to dip back into reality here.
Okay.
Everything you say is true, but it needs to be taken to the nth degree.
Yes.
We need to be a little bit more ardent. We need to be a little bit more on time. We need to have a few more as far as numbers go, and we need to make every single time that we meet them count. Because when we talk about the fact that if we just have a bunch of people there, we're going to win, we saw absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that is the biggest farce you could ever imagine. There were thousands of people lined up outside of stadiums and lines over a mile long to get in to see Trump. We're talking 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people showing up for Trump rallies. We are looking at Joe Bob hiding in his basement, and when he finally went to a school to do, I don't know, a rally or whatever, he had a couple hundred people at the most. And surrounding,
and he had hundreds of people that were Trump supporters lining the road with protests.
That's what I was just about to say. Lining the road and out shouting him. So it's not a matter of do we have enough numbers. It is a strategic planning that people like you, who are in a position to get the word of those you represent to those leaders, because here's what we've lost. It all boils down to this, okay? Here is what we have lost. They no longer represent we the people. They now represent those who will guarantee they're going to get reelected, and every time they get reelected, they get a little richer. Why? Because they're allowed to do insider trading, which makes our congressmen and our senators very rich if they're in there for 20 or 30 or 40, 50 years. If you stop to consider the fact that the longer they're there, the less representation we get from them. This is what people need to understand. The only way that can change is by what you said. We need to make it abundantly clear to them, you can have as much money as you want, but if we can muster enough people to the ballot box, which should be our goal, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're going to lose. We have been failing at this at an ever-increasing rate for the last 30 to 40 years. It's about time we reverse the trend, and it's people like you that are going to help that happen.
Now, there was one other person that was missing from this. This area where I live, there's the dividing line right runs right through the city that's next to mine.
Oof.
For Congress.
Yeah.
The congressman that represents me was there. The congressman that's like his I guess you'd say district.
Constituency.
Is just like 10 minutes away, wasn't. Let me share you some thoughts there.
Okay.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. So, to the point of kind of the career politician, I believe it's John Curtis. He's the representative for District 3 for the state of Utah. There's four congressmen for the state of Utah, and literally less than 10 miles away from me, my neighbors 10 miles to the north are his representatives. I'm in the second biggest county in the state of Utah. And he didn't show up. He didn't even send a good representative for him. And so I kind of went up to him acting like, and when you go to talk to these people, you know, I had a couple people be like, well, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what you're, when I'm asking questions, they're like, I don't know what side you're coming from. And I'm like, that's exactly the way I want you to think. In fact, I want you to think that I'm on your side. Now, this representative, John Curtis, is a rhino, is a big friend of Romney and votes many ways with Romney. And so he came up. So I went up to one of his people and I said, listen, you guys have this in the bag. I'm like, so I said, where's John Curtis? And they're like, he's over in Vernal, which is a small rural county. Not to say that it's not important, but they don't have a meeting until later this afternoon. Many of the people that were running against him were hopping in their car and driving for 2 hours to go to Vernal to where he's going to be at later this afternoon. And he's like, yeah, he's having a meeting over in Vernal. And what that said, and I said, come on. So I walked up, kind of leaned into the guy, and I said, I can't believe these other crazies that are running against him. Come on. You know you guys got this in the bag. There's no way he's not getting voted in again. And he gave me the look of like, you're absolutely right. But he's like, you know, it's still, we want to make sure that we win the race. We're working really hard. And in my mind, I'm like, well, he's not here, so it's obvious that he's not working hard. His thought is he doesn't need to be there. I happen to have spoken with a few people, and they're like, I know that there's, when the robocalls, and I said, your internal polling must show you way ahead right now in Utah County. And he just gave me that look of like, because I was talking to one of his campaign people, and he just raised his eyebrow like, ooh, I've been had. Or like, you know what you're talking about. However, from what I understand, there's a number of people that are saying, are answering when the question comes in as a delegate or a county delegate, yes, I'm going to be voting for John Curtis, that really aren't. And so the bottom line is, what I'm getting to is, he is more about the money than he is about making sure that he's listening to the citizen. And that I wanted to share that point. Hopefully it makes sense that maybe I'm there even when I'm being a radio show host.
Again, all of this makes sense, but we have to, and you know, you're probably going to have a lot of your audience rolling their eyes into the back of their heads right now, but there's something else we all need to consider, okay? And that is, those who have the money in this country believe they literally own and run the country. That all goes all the way down to and includes local elections. What most people need to understand is, a guy like the guy you're talking about feels he doesn't have to be at what you and those with you believe was an important place for this guy to be, and even because he doesn't need to show up. Let me ask you another question, okay? Is there, and I'm talking about your entire audience, is there anybody out there who believes that the election systems in the United States are honest anymore? Is there anybody out there who believes that there is not cheating going on, not only in national elections, but in state elections and even local elections? Is there anybody out there who doesn't believe that the exact same voting machines that are being used to elect a president are being used to elect a senator, a congressman, and your local representatives? Is there anybody out there who doesn't believe that somebody who brings in over $120 billion a year, military-industrial complex, big pharma, doesn't have the money to buy elections all the way from the top to the bottom? Because if you're going to tell me, Roger, you're crazy, then you've been sleeping for the past 10 years and you really haven't done any homework whatsoever. Why does somebody who John, again, eloquently explained to everybody here, figure he doesn't have to be at a place where he can definitely make a positive influence on those who may be pulling the lever with his name on it come election day? Why didn't he feel he had to be there? Because he knows for a fact he didn't have to be there. He's been guaranteed he's going to be reelected, which means that you don't count anymore, or the fact that you do count is minimal when it should be maximal. This is the America we live in. How do we change it? Exactly what John said. Boots on the ground. You get in their face, and I'm not talking about screaming and hollering at them. I'm talking about you make sure they know you're there. You make sure they know who you represent. You make sure they understand that we're not going to put up with this anymore. And we're also going to do some poll watching on election day.
Let's do. This is Talk with John. We'll get back to it on the other side. Cover this a little more, then get to nationals. International stuff.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Public Broadcasting, this is Talk with John. I am your host here on Republic Broadcasting Network. We are being joined by Roger Landry of TLB Talk. And folks, it's where you want to go to join community so you can interact and talk to your fellow Americans without being censored. All right, so I did say, you know, let's wrap up the thought. The bottom line is turn up to vote, turn up to be a delegate, turn up to meet the candidates. If we make a big enough presence, we don't have to worry about going to a greater and more serious actions. And that's what I totally want for you.
Turn up to watch the polls on election day.
And that's one of the reasons why they've wanted to do mail-in voting. The most accurate way to poll is exit polling. When you don't have people voting in person, you no longer have exit polls, so you can manipulate everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Say it isn't so.
All right, so let's get to Ukraine. So you didn't tell me what your conclusions were and what your thoughts were, but I said, I find it interesting that Putin is not using his frontline troops. He's using troops from, I believe it's Syria. He is using dumb bombs. He's not using their more high-tech stuff. And while he is invading Ukraine, the question in my mind is it he has it that sure that he's got it in the bag, or is there something else going on, or does he not have enough resources to replace those? So, and is there something that I'm just totally not seeing at all? Roger, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, a lot of people are going to tell you that have really done some research that a lot of what we're seeing in Ukraine is a distraction. I'm not going to go deep into what I'm about to say because I want to talk more about Ukraine. But while we are all focused on Ukraine and the fact that World War III might be knocking on our door, there is a ramp up of people having extremely nasty side reactions and people dying from vaccines all across the planet. And that is ramping up. But door number three is open and door number one and door number two are closed. Everybody's worried about World War III now. Everybody's focused on that. If you take a look at Putin, he has been associated with a lot of the WEP crowd, WEF, World Economic Forum crowd, and Klaus for quite a while. So if that is a distraction, that may be one way to look at this, but I'm looking at this at a slightly different way. If you take a look at the fact that there are Russian tanks running out of gas and their crews are walking away from them, there are advanced missile systems on trucks, okay, running out of gas or being surrounded and shot at by locals, and they're literally abandoning their equipment and running off into the woods. I'm dead serious, okay? He has suffered well over 7,000, and some say it is as high as 14,000 military casualties so far. His tanks are being destroyed. His missile systems are being destroyed. Where are his, and they've got some of the best jets on the planet. Where are his jets coming in? You see helicopters, but their helicopters are being knocked out of the sky by missiles that are being provided by NATO and the United States. What we are looking at right now is that Russia, yes, they are making some advances. They've had to leave several towns. They've literally had to, they were pushed out. This is supposed to be, stop and think about what I'm about to say, the second most powerful military force on the planet. They rate number two. The United States rates number one. China rates number three. Hold on a second. The Ukraine rates 21 out of 144. So Ukraine does have weapon systems. Ukraine does have a formidable military. Otherwise, out of 144 nations, they wouldn't rate 21. All right? Stop and consider what I'm saying. Putin right now is in a position where the world is looking at him and saying, this don't look good for Russia. If Russia, who supposedly has some of the best weapons in the world, did a blitzkrieg, and yes, I'm borrowing that from a different era, on the Ukraine, they should have literally overrun that country in a week or less. They didn't. Their tanks, like I said, their trucks, their missiles, their mobile missile systems are running out of gas. There are Russian troops asking the locals in Ukrainian towns for food because their food is not getting resupplied. Listen to what I'm saying. Is this a world-class military? Is this a blitzkrieg that was supposed to take the Ukraine down and down hard? It's not happening. How many days have they been trying to capture the capital? This is supposed to be the second most powerful military on the planet, and they still haven't captured the capital of what's supposed to be a backwater country. You have Russia. Oh, I'm almost done. I hear you about to say something. Let me finish one more point here. You have Russian soldiers calling their parents in Russia and telling them, we don't know what we're here for. These people ain't bad. Why are we here? The morale on the Russian troops right now is so bad, they're literally walking away from their tanks and their trucks. This is happening. This does not look good for Putin. If Putin doesn't do an all-out push, which will start World War III, if he doesn't do that, he's going to have to literally skulk out of Ukraine with his tail between his legs, and the entire theory that Russia is a threat to anybody will go down the toilet.
I'm like...
All of this I can back up. All of it. You know, I wouldn't say it if I couldn't.
So I totally... Okay, so everything you've said, from what I have heard, is correct. So here's a couple other interesting things that that I have read also. So the average NATO pilot, I think, has per month 35 hours of flight time, specifically the United States pilots have 35 hours of flight time. In my opinion, that's not enough. I think there should be more. But in comparison, the average Russian pilot has 8 hours of flight time per month. Okay, well, what does that mean? Okay, so that means I learn, so I have a little bit of flying, I don't even have my private pilot's license. But I do know this. In order to be able to take off and land that and keep current in a top-level fighter, that takes at least doing that once a week. You've got to do several touch-and-goes to stay current. Well, guess what? 8 hours of flight time, you've got a couple of touch-and-goes, but you don't have the ability to learn how to integrate with other pilots on tactical attacks. Now, they only have, also understand, they only have two AWACS aircraft. AWACS is, it's over, it sees the whole battlefield, and it really helps one plane talk to another, or one plane help talk to
Coordination.
Yes. So they only have two AWACS aircraft. Then when you throw in, and then here's another thing that I found really interesting, and you bringing this up was key. And this is when I wanted to jump in. That they're going to the Ukrainian people saying, hey, we need some food. They have 20-year-old, they were eating 20-year-old MREs. That is not good for morale.
No.
And then what happens when if you're just going kindly to say, may I have some food, they're going to tell you to stuff it when you go to someone else's country and you're attacking them, basically. Yeah. Then what's the next step? What's the next step? Well, you start saying, not asking for it, you start trying to take it. And so pillaging comes in, raping's not too far behind, literally. And that makes a populist fight a lot harder.
Are already films of Russian soldiers breaking into shops and looting them, whether they are looting them for things they can resell or for food. That has nothing to do with liberating. And you've got to understand, Putin put his army in there under the pretext. This is what all of these soldiers thought. They thought they were going in there to liberate a country that did not want to be under the leadership they're under and would welcome them with open arms. And when they got there and they looked around and they saw what was happening, they called up mommy and daddy and said, what the hell is going on? This isn't what we were told. They have the highest desertion rate they've ever had in any armed conflict in recent history, right now, in the Ukraine. Putin is not looking good on the world stage. He either has to turn into a total megalomaniac, which he's not far from, and really put the screws, because he does have the weapons, he does have the ability to do this, but if he does do that, what about the supply lines? What about the people who thought they were there to liberate? Are they going to be there? Are they going to willingly do this? Right now, Putin is sitting somewhere wondering, what the heck am I going to do? Right now, I've seen three videos already about Putin telling the nation that there are generals and other oligarchs who have it in for him, and he may have to start cleansing the upper portion of governance over in Russia. He's got, I'm not sure, don't take me, I know it's at least four, it might be six generals already under house arrest. Wait a minute! How many of you know that? Putin's got six of his military generals under house arrest. Why? Because they're looking at him going, you're an idiot.
I take that back. I didn't know that it was six, but I knew that he had four.
I know it's four, but I think it's six. Okay, don't hold me to six. It's definitely four. That's for sure.
So I knew four, or at least I've heard four. I don't know. You know, I'm not there, actually, with my binoculars.
One of them is the general of the National Guard, the Russian National Guard. Their general is under house arrest.
That is not good. So the question is, what does this mean for Putin? And here's the thing, folks. Historically speaking, if you're a Russian leader and you look weak, what happens to you?
You go bye-bye. But what if
bye-bye
Putin
is it
is,
you step down and or you resign and you live a life life?
No. You go bye-bye, literally. But my question to you is, what if this is a distraction? What if there's no food on purpose? What if there's no gas on purpose? What if this is giving, I don't know, the Ukrainians some false sense of hope because they're winning? They've actually pushed Russian invaders out of at least one town, maybe two, that they've already gone into and taken over. What if this is a distraction to keep everybody around the world, especially places like the United States, France, Germany, Finland, Canada, from seeing the fact that there are a lot of people being very crippled or dying from COVID vaccines right now? A lot of them.
Okay. So here's my question. Is Putin part of that being controlled?
Yes.
Is
he
is a willing
definitely
participant?
He's a Klaus boy. Yes, he is.
Okay. Because not only is he a Klaus boy, he and Henry Kissinger have gone to lunch and dinner and vacationed.
Yep.
So it's like
New World Order. Yep.
Yep.
Now, Great Reset. Yep.
Now, the following question is, what is he going to do? Is he going to step it up? Is he being made to look bad? Or is he even going to wind up going to nuclear weapons? Because as we mentioned, you go bye-bye if you're not successful in Russia.
I think he's looking for a way to survive this because I think door number two. Door number one was the vaccines. Door number two is Ukraine. Door number three, it hasn't happened yet, but it's being loaded into the chamber, and that's China, Taiwan. And what most people are thinking is that China is the third most powerful armed forces, or has the third most powerful armed forces on the planet, but they suffer the same thing. A lot of the people in the Chinese military are those one child. Okay, that's the era of you can only have one child, all right, which happened for over 35 years in China and only was taken back after 2015. So a lot of these soldiers that sit in, and they've got a lot of them, in the Chinese military are not only spoiled rotten, but they worry about going home because it is tradition for thousands of years in the Chinese culture that you take care of your parents in their old age. That is your duty. But if you die in war, you can't do that. So we've got that, and we've also got this. What most people don't understand is I told you the world power ranking military. United States, number one. All right, Russia, number two. China, number three. And I told you that the Ukraine was number 21, which puts them pretty high out of 144 countries that are counted in this poll each year. Guess where Taiwan sits? Number 22. She is also far from a weak rollover. As a matter of fact, I would tell you that Taiwan would be a porcupine to China if they decided to invade. And if they do, they're going to have a lot of people like Japan, like Australia, like the United States, like the Philippines. They're all going to be on their back. But the point here is, I think that that would also be a distraction. It would lead up to the point of World War III, but not actually be World War III. Can you think of anybody? Can you think of anybody who is more in tune with a global reset than Xi Jinping? Can you, between him and Putin, these guys want that worse than anything else. Why? Because it's global communism. It's global dictatorship. Okay, they're bought and paid for. So if Putin has to pull out, which I'm believing he's going to have to, or they may come to some sort of an agreement where Ukraine will decide that she, or promise she won't join NATO, she won't, you know, side up with the West, she'll be neutral, which Putin may use it as an excuse to say, I've won, and pull out. But when that door number two, when we start to see the stress lighten up there and we start to refocus on how many people across the planet are being crippled for life, sterilized, or dying from a vaccine we never should have gotten, you're going to see Taiwan flare up, and it's already in the works.
So
that's door number three.
That I was wondering where does I was going to be asking you. So where does China and Taiwan play in this?
Yep.
So one thing that was happening with a lot of frequency before the Olympics was there were flyovers of China into Taiwan airspace. Yep. Shortly last week, I heard about another flight over Taiwan airspace. Now, I haven't heard any more.
24 jets.
How many?
24 jets.
I thought it was 20. Now, that, okay, so why is that significant? That's not a lot. I mean, 24 jets?
Yeah, it is.
Kind of a lot? Okay,
how? If you're going into someone else's airspace, if you're violating someone else's airspace with one jet of military persuasion, that's something. If you're doing it with two dozen armed military jets, that's something times 24.
Oh, but, you know, it's just a plane.
Okay. How many planes can carry nuclear weapons? How many planes can carry 10,000-pound bunker busters? How many planes can carry... Yeah. 24 planes can do a hell of a lot of damage.
Well, your 24 planes, typically on your leading edge, you're going after the radar tracking that's being done. And Taiwan's not flying up their jets very often after them, chasing them off, because they don't want to burn up the fuel. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. Personally, I hope it doesn't go to war, because that means then we have a lot of chips that are no longer being made. In fact, I just was talking to a general manager of an automotive dealership, and he said that there are a lot of people that are not buying these year's vehicles and are trying to buy last year and the previous year's vehicles, because this current year's vehicles they don't have as many of the options because there aren't as many chips to be made.
If you also stop to consider that the U.S. intelligence services are fully aware of this, if you also stop to consider that big tech in the United States, which isn't just things like Facebook, we're talking about there are chip manufacturers in the United States, okay? There is high-tech industry in the United States.
Yes.
What we're being told, and this is what happens so often, in order to put us into a situation where we'll do anything because we're fearful, what we're being told is that Taiwan goes away, there won't be any more chips. What I'm telling you is that since the rise of malevolence to Taiwan over via China, there has been an increased push to not only shift some of the production of these chips to the United States, but a lot of this production is being done in a fashion where nobody sees it.
Okay. Meaning?
Because our military is dependent on these chips even more than our cars are.
Yes. And so many of those chips in the past have been also bought from China.
Yep.
That's the one. So Burgess Owens said that there's two good things that is good from what's coming on right now. A, Americans are starting to desire to have things be made here in the United States. And Burgess Owens, yep. Congressman Burgess Owens. And also, we're starting to see the left and their policies for what they are. So yep. He goes, as painful as this has been, this actually could be a good thing in the end if we as Americans are willing to wake up.
If we don't wake up, and if what is intended to happen happens, because I'm going to tell y'all something else right now that may scare you a little bit, and this will be my roundup of the show here. If you take a look at the forced vaccination of the U.S. military, if you take a look at the forced vaccination of the Russian military, if you take a look at the forced vaccination of the Ukrainian military, and I could go on and on, most militaries across the planet are between 90 and 95% vaccinated. Right now, that is a disaster waiting to freaking happen.
How vaccinated is the Chinese military?
I don't have figures on that, but I know that the Chinese were pretty much mandated for vaccines as well. As a matter of fact, they just did another 51 million person lockdown because of increased COVID cases China. So, yeah, a lot of them are vaccinated. Look, the one thing that these elitists are fearful of beyond anything is all of the military capability across the planet being focused against them. Why do you think so many of the militaries across the planet have mandated you either get vaccinated or you get out? And a lot of these soldiers, sailors, airmen do not want to get out, so they take the vaccine. This is going to be an absolute crime against humanity over the next couple of years when we see the fallout from it.
And we're already seeing it. A lot of it also is to get rid of the nationalists.
What you're seeing is door number one is closed. That's the vaccine. And door number two is the Ukraine. And if that does get settled prior to World War III, which I believe it will, then it will be China and Ukraine. That's door number three opening up to distract us again.
Roger Landry, tell us how people can interact with you. And thanks for joining.
TLBTalk.com and thelibertybeacon.com, which is the flagship for the network.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.